What causes you to worry? I mean, there's probably a multitude of things, and if we're honest, most of us probably worry on a daily basis, maybe on an hourly basis, you know, maybe on a every minute basis, I don't know. But we all worry, right? I mean, we live in an age of anxiety where people are too uptight, too stressed, and where we just worry about everything, from disease to crime to finances to job to kids. We even worry about the fact that we're worrying, don't we? And it doesn't matter how rich or poor, young or old, or what you do for a living, worry is just something that every one of us has in common. Somebody once said, I like this, they said, I've learned to accept birth and death, but sometimes I worry about what lies between. True, right? Somebody else said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. That's basically pretty true. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this. What's the alternative to worry? If we're not supposed to worry, then what's that alternative? When I was in my first assignment, which was out in Norton, Kansas. Norton, Kansas is, it was in the northwest part of the state of Kansas. We were 11 miles from the border of Nebraska, 100 miles from the border of Colorado. Town of about 2,900, but stuck in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was about 70 miles to Walmart. So it gives you an idea, right? In fact, the closest hospitals where people could have surgery, they were 100 miles away. I mean, it was just out there. But it was a great first assignment. It was a great church. It was actually the First Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, based, and just great people. But the town, even though it had a little bit of industry, and then it also had a prison where a lot of people worked. They weren't inmates. They worked there, right? But the biggest percentage, or a large percentage, were farmers and ranchers. I mean, we had a lot of our farmers, they farmed usually roughly around average 3,000 acres, and a lot of them farmed between 5 and 6,000 acres every year. A lot of that was leased land, not necessarily their own, but that's what they farmed. And when I got there in the spring, I got there in first week of March in 23, they had been in a drought for about 3 years. And so the farmers were basically living on their crop insurance because they had just been in a drought. And so they prayed a lot for God to provide the rain they needed, to provide the weather that they needed so that their crops would produce and would grow and that they could really sustain and their family and live life, right? And I began to have a whole new appreciation for these farmers and what they went through. Well, spring started out really well. I mean, April we had rain. May we had a lot of good rain. The farmers were able to get, most of them planted corn, and most of the corn was planted. And by the first part of June, you know, it was up probably about like that. It was really doing well. And then in June, we had two storms that went through, particular storms, where some of the hail was so big that in one house about a half hour down the road, they had a softball-sized hailstone that went through three-quarter sheeting on the roof. That's the type of hail. And most of our farmers lost, on an average, 90% of their crops. And two of the farmers that farmed 5,000 acres lost 100% of their crops. All this period of time, part of what we prayed for in church was for these farmers. We prayed for God to provide. We prayed for God to bring the weather. We prayed for what they would need and how that they could begin to understand how God could take care of them. And these farmers learned in a big way what we're going to talk about this morning. Because Everything was out of their control at that point. And they just had to rely on God. Now, if anyone, again, had the right to worry, it was these farmers. But they understood this next part of the Lord's Prayer. Now, if this is your first time with us today, then we are in a great series called Teach Us to Pray. And we are going through the Lord's Prayer, or what it should be called, the model prayer, because the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, could you just teach us how to pray? Not teach us a prayer, but just teach us how to pray. And the first two things we've discovered over the last 2 weeks are these. The first one is, this prayer teaches us to recognize and celebrate God for being God. It teaches us to recognize and to celebrate God for being God. He's our Father, but He's also our Creator. We can have that intimate relationship with Him, but He's also infinite in His power and His majesty. He is holy. And we also learn that it teaches us how to have a kingdom perspective, not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom perspective, and then how to surrender our lives to the will of God. So today, I want to begin unpacking this next phrase that focuses on man and his need for God. So let's pray and then we'll dive in. God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for all you do, all you're doing. God, you're just so amazing. I just can't thank you enough for what you are doing in our lives. We just take it for granted so many times. And yet we're only here because you're the one who's in control and providing everything we need. Help us not to forget that. Now, God, may my words not be mine, but may they be yours. And God, if there's anyone in here today who needs you in their heart, God, may you speak into them. May you touch them. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're a parent in here today, I think it's fair to say that most of you love your kids, right? Anybody not love their kids? I think most of us love our kids. I mean, that's just the way we are. In fact, you're probably willing to do anything that you can to make sure that they have what they need. And the cool thing is, this next part of the model prayer shows us God's willingness to do the same. He's an amazing Father who loves us. An amazing God who's willing to take care of us and to take care of the needs of His kids. And so the third thing I want us to look at in this prayer that we can discover is this. This prayer teaches us to recognize who's really in control. It helps us to recognize who's really in control. Verse 11 said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, the term bread is a broad term that can mean all of man's needs, but it denotes needs over wants. It's not talking about wants. It's not talking about luxuries. It's talking about needs. Now, as we think about this phrase, there are times when it can seem somewhat irrelevant to us. I mean, most of us probably haven't prayed, "Lord, I really need you to provide me with a meal today." Now, there may be some that's their prayer. But I think for the majority of us today, we haven't had to pray that. Most of us don't have to pray that prayer. You see, the major concern is not, will we eat? But for most of us, and some of you are thinking this right now, if you were honest, the major thing is, what will we eat? Right? I mean, so where are we going for lunch? Well, I don't know. Let's go to whatever. You see, the reality is our prayer should be, "Lord, keep me from eating too much." After all, most of us not only have enough for ourselves, but most of us have enough for a lot of people. I mean, we could have people over for lunch today, eat, and still probably have leftovers. Now, I don't think that Jesus wants us to just be poverty-stricken, but He does want us to get a in the habit of relying on him for everything, regardless of how much we have. You see, there's the problem, right? At times, when we have a lot, sometimes we forget we need him. When we have a lot and we're not worrying about what we have, it's real easy to just push him to the side because we think we have everything under control. And we've got to understand this part of the prayer tells us that we aren't in control. He's in control. So then, what can we learn from this part of the model prayer that can help us to stop worrying and to recognize that, guess what? He's got it. He's got it. We don't have to worry about him. He's got it. And the first thing I want you to notice today is this. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, this is a prayer of dependence. It's a prayer of dependence. Ultimately, prayer is an admission to God that you are not in control. It is saying, Father, apart from you, I wouldn't even be here. You are my provider. You are my sustainer. And I am here to declare my dependence upon you. You remember in the Old Testament when the people of Israel were totally dependent on God to provide their daily needs, especially their daily bread, as they wandered in the wilderness after God had miraculously brought them out of slavery in Egypt. You see, for them to survive, they had to totally depend on God to provide bread, or as he called it, manna from heaven. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. Now, there are three things out of this verse that I think it's important for us to understand as we think about our lives and as we think about allowing God to provide for us. And the first is this. God said in this verse, he said, gather only enough for that day. Just gather enough for that day. He said, I'm going to rain down manna, bread from heaven, but I want you only to gather what you need for that day, not for tomorrow, not for the next week, not for the next month. I don't want you to store all this stuff up. You gather just what you need for today. Period. The second thing was this. In this verse, we see that the people had a part to play in the miracle. God wasn't saying, I'm just going to give this to you. I'm going to rain this manna, this bread down from heaven, and guess what? Man, I'm just going to automatically put it in your pantry. I'm going to put it on your table with a knife and butter and jelly. And all you got to do is pick it up and eat. No, that's not what he said. The people had a part to play in the miracle. And unfortunately for us as believers, that's something a lot of times we forget, that we have a part to play. We have a part to play in order for God to really provide for us what we need. And the third thing is this. God was teaching them two things, dependence and obedience. God was teaching them to depend on him every single day and to be obedient to what he has told them to do. Here's the thing. We must never forget that everything we have and everything we need comes from God. He wants to provide just what we need, whatever that need may be. I mean, after all, prayer doesn't show that God is available to us. That's not what prayer shows. It shows that we are available and dependent on him. That's what prayer is about. It's not showing that God's available to us when we just want him for whatever. No, it shows that we are available and dependent upon him every single day of our life. I came across this quote, and I really like it. A guy by the name of David Myers writes, he said, "Some petitionary prayers seem not only to lack faith in the inherent goodness of God, but they also seem to elevate humankind to a position of control over God. God, the scriptures remind us, is omniscient and omnipotent, the sovereign ruler of the universe. For Christians to pray as if God were a puppet whose strings they yank with their prayers seems not only potentially superstitious, but blasphemous as well." God's not just some puppet we yank the strings of in order to get what we want. We've got to understand God's the one that's in the control. We need to be dependent upon Him. Tim Keller wrote, "To pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything." I don't care if you've got $1 million in the bank. You are still dependent on God. We're dependent on God every single day of our life, no matter how much you have or no matter how much you don't have. We've got to understand everything we are comes from Him. So here's three questions that can help you to know if you are truly dependent on God to provide. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself these three questions. First is this: have I prayed about this? I know that's pretty basic, right? And it's pretty simple. But have I prayed about this? In other words, whatever's going on, whatever the need is in your life at that moment, have you prayed about it, or have you pushed it aside because you think you can handle it on your own? Have you prayed about it? Second question is this: do I believe what I say I believe? And maybe this is even a more basic question, because this is the one where the rubber meets the road. Do I actually believe what I say I believe? Because if you believe that God's in control, if you believe that everything you have comes from the Father above, if you believe God provides your daily bread every single day of your life, then the question is this: then why aren't you acting like it? If we believe it, then let's act like we believe it. And let's act like God is the one who is providing and in control. The last question is this: am I making the most of today? In other words, are you doing your part in the process? Here's the thing. As I thought about this dependence, here's what hit me. I think this right here is why Jesus starts his model prayer with getting our focus on Him and the Father and the Holy Creator of the universe and on His kingdom and on His will instead of our own. I think that's why He starts the model prayer that way. Our focus is taken to God. He's our Father. His name is to be hallowed. It's His kingdom we're praying for. It's His will we're praying to be done. And I think He starts it this way because when we see Him for who He really is, depending on Him for our daily needs shouldn't even be a problem. When we see Him for who He is. But the second thing that I want us to understand this morning as we think about this part of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it's this. We need to see that this is a prayer of covering. It's not only a prayer of dependence, but it's a prayer of covering. It's a prayer for God to cover the necessities of life rather than the luxuries of life. I mean, after all, Jesus didn't say, "Here's what I want you to do, guys. I want you to pray this prayer. Give us this day our steak and baked potato, our cheesecake, our Lexus, our new house, our ski boat, and that cool Caribbean cruise." That's not what He said. No, this is a prayer for the basic needs of our lives. In other words, Praying for our daily bread means that we are asking God to provide and cover all of our needs, no matter what those needs might be. I really like how Martin Luther put this. Listen to what he wrote. What does daily bread mean? Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food and drink and clothing and shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, family, job, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like this. In other words, our daily bread is everything we need. It's not always just about food. So right now, if we're honest, for some of you, right now, maybe the biggest need in your life, maybe it's just for strength to make it through the day. I mean, maybe you're really struggling in your life, and you just need strength. You need God to provide the bread of strength so that you can make it just another day. Or maybe the need that you have is for God to provide direction for your life. Maybe that's where you're struggling, is just having that direction in your life. And so the bread you need today is just, God, give me direction so that I can begin to follow where you're going, not just where I go. Or maybe today you're tired, you're run down, you're sick, or your kids are a mess, or your spouse has left you, or you're about to lose your job or house, and the daily bread you need is the grace and the mercy and the power of God to intervene in your circumstances. I mean, maybe that's the bread you need. Or maybe the daily bread you need is the Word of God. Again, not all of our needs are physical or emotional. Some can only be filled through the Word of God. You see, whatever you need at that moment, our Father is able to cover and to meet your needs, no matter what they are. True story. After the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of orphan children who had been orphaned by the war. Relief agencies came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many kids. One of the people involved talked about a problem that they encountered with a group of these at this one particular orphanage. Here's what they said. Even though the children had three meals a day provided for them, they were restless and anxious at night, and they had difficulty sleeping. As they talked to the children, soon they discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether or not they would have food for the next day. To help resolve the problem, the relief workers in one particular orphanage decided that each night when the children went to bed, the nurses would place a single piece of bread in each child's hand. Now, the bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It was kind of a security blanket for them. It reminded them that their daily needs would be covered. That bread calmed their anxieties, and it allowed them to sleep. Paul wrote these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "My God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The third thing I want you to notice is this. I want you to notice that this is also a prayer of community. It's a prayer of community because Jesus doesn't say, "Give me my daily bread." He says, "Give us our daily bread." In other words, this prayer reminds us that there is no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We need each other. We are a part and connected to one another. And what one needs, we all need. We're in this together. We're a family. We're a community. We were created to do life together. Here's the thing. When the needs of others begin to be a priority in our life, it will help us to keep the right perspective on our own needs. So the last thing I wanted you to notice is this. It's that this is a prayer also of faith and trust. It's a prayer of faith and trust. Jesus doesn't say, give us this day our weekly, monthly, or yearly bread. He says, give us our daily bread. You know why? Well, I believe that it's because he's teaching us to rely on him one day at a time. Just like he taught the people of Israel. Now, the word translated this day in the Greek simply means today. I mean, that's what it means. It means today. So as we pray this part of the prayer, we are basically saying, Father, give us today what we need for today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about next week or next month or next year. God, you provide today what we need for today. Now, the problem that a lot of people have with this is we not only worry about today, but we also worry about next week, right? I mean, we worry about next month. We worry about 5 years from now. In fact, if we let them, there are thousands of things we could worry about. I mean, what if we run out of groceries? What if my kids don't have enough money for college? What if I'm not prepared for retirement? What if, what if, what if? And we've talked about these what ifs before, right? Because most people live their lives in the world of the what ifs. And unfortunately, the church does the same thing. We live in the world of the what ifs if we're not careful. What if we don't make the budget? What if we can't afford the new preacher? What if Jerry has to stay here for another few months? Right? It's the what ifs. We live in the world of the what ifs. Here's the thing. If you think you're in control and it all depends on you, then let me tell you, you ought to be worrying. Right? If somehow you think you're in control and it all depends on you, then you ought to worry. And you will live in the world of the what ifs. Never forget, God's the only one who knows the future, and most likely, he hasn't told you or me much about it yet. Why? Because he just wants us to trust him to provide one day at a time. In fact, I want you to look in Matthew 6, just go down a few verses. These are the verses you read this morning as a church body. Now, let me say something, because I was standing right over here when that was happening, when that was going on. And I know there are probably those of you sitting in here going, well, that was crazy. What in the world do we do that for? You mean we got to read this thing together? Let me tell you, when I was standing over there just watching people and watching groups as they were reading together, it was a beautiful thing. Let me tell you, I needed that today. I needed to be in a service where the people were coming together, reading God's word together. Not complaining about it, not going, why in the world are we doing this? But just reading the word of God. Understanding the word of God together as a body. And it was just so cool to stand over there and listen around the room as people were reading God's word out loud. That's awesome. Don't ever take that for granted. So let's look at these verses in Matthew 6. I'm just going to skip down through some. Verse 25, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Verse 27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can they? No, they can't. verses 30 to 33, look what it says. Why do you have so little faith? Now let that sink in, will you? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? And then listen to this. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. You know what that means? It means it shouldn't dominate the lives of believers. That's what he's saying. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Again, he will give you everything you need, not everything you want. Those words were spoken almost 2,000 years ago, and they are just what we need to hear today. Jesus commands us to just say no to worry. Here's the thing that we need to remember. Worry is a choice. It's a choice. And Satan would like nothing better than to have you to choose a life of worry. I love this true story. 6-year-old Jessica was just getting out of the tub, and her mom was beginning to dry her off when the storm that had begun earlier began to get it to intensify. And all of a sudden, the lightning began to flash and the thunder began to roar. And she was getting a little scared. All of a sudden, it kind of calmed a little bit. And so her mom took her into her bedroom and began to get her into her pajamas. And just as she got into her pajamas, another lightning bolt flashed and thunder began to shake the house. And little Jessica was scared. And she just said, "Mommy, can I sleep with you and Daddy tonight?" And her mom said, "Well, of course you can." So she took her into their room. And before she got into bed, she just knelt down and she prayed this prayer. She said, "God, please help the lightning and the thunder to stop. And please help me not to be so scared when it flashes and when it roars." But then she paused for a moment. And then she said, "God, I've thought about this some more. If you're with me, you can do whatever you want." Let me tell you, that's what it means to trust God. That's what it means to trust God. It's letting him do whatever he wants with your life, your family, your work, because we know that he will provide whatever we need to get through the storms of life. And whenever we do that, whenever we turn it all over to him, trusting him to do what's best, that's where we will find that true inner peace. Because we know he will provide every single day just what we need. Let's reflect. This prayer is ultimately answered, and this is the cool thing. This prayer is ultimately answered in God's gracious gift of his son Jesus. And in us finding everything we need, which is forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life. And you know where we find that? We find that in him. And so this prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," it was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. Because more than once, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you partake in me, you will never, ever die." That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer and come to this petition, our hearts should be singing that great simple song, "Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. He's our bread of life." That's where we find real, lasting life.